councillors, it's 5:30. I'll declare the meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone and commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangye people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. Extend respect to elders, past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present tonight. Thank you. Could I also remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements. And could I also ask, if you have a mobile phone with you, would you switch it to silence? Silent, please. And I'll now call for apologies.
We have one apology, Madam Mayor, from Councillor Trevor Ballengarry.
Thank you. And I'd now like to invite Pastor Marshall Hodgkiss from the Christian Action Church at Maxwell to come forward and lead council in prayer on behalf of the Nambucca Valley Ministers Association. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and senior staff and councillors and all ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for the opportunity to come on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association and lead in prayer, and also to actually just recognise the blessing that it is to live in this magnificent part of the valley. So let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your councillors, staff and all gathered here this afternoon. Thank you for their heart of service, and ask for your grace and peace to flow in this place and for your wisdom to be over every decision. In James 1:5 it says, we can and should ask for wisdom, and God will give it generously without finding fault. Thank you for that wisdom. I pray for a release of blessing over all here in this valley. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Do we have any disclosures of interest?
No, Madam Mayor, we do not.
Okay, councillors, we'll go to the confirmation of the minutes for the ordinary meeting of the 16th of February.
I'll move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Vance. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We have one notice of motion. It's on page 19 of your business paper from Councillor Jenby. Are you formally moving that, Councillor Jenby?
Yes, I am, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. We have one delegation tonight in the as a public forum, so I'd like to invite Ms. Wendy Firefly to come forward and address council. Wendy is speaking on horticulture and blueberries in the Nambucca Valley. Welcome, Wendy.
Good morning, Madam Mayor and councillors. I'm here to talk to you about the importance of having development applications on your blueberry farms. The reason I'm here is I started doing it 8 years ago with Sally Townley on the Coffs Coast. We have all the evidence you need. The community was coming to us with concerns of spray drift onto their property, water pollution, illegal dumping, bulldozing of cultural sites, wildlife corridors, oversized dams, illegal boards. And just to prove our point, when the National Water Body came to check, 88% of farmers were non-compliant to the water laws. Oversized dam, water stealing, pollution, and illegal boards. So since then, we've got 17 water tests, all proving chemicals in our water. We have chemicals in oyster and prawn flesh. We had two fish kills up there. Okay, so the first, we did tests in water tanks. 25 26% came detections of pesticides, 43 traces, 11 different chemicals were found in neighbouring tanks, including Edrin, which was banned in 87. One tank had 6 different pesticides on 6 different samples, and some chemicals weren't even used in the blueberry industry. So this is people's drinking water. And the fact is, we only tested the drinking water. We didn't test what they make their food out of, what they wash their clothes out of, what they shower out of, what's left on their property, on their washing, when it's been sprayed. So for the safe work practices, a farmer should notify their neighbours if they're spraying, but this rarely happens. The other risk is pollution to the environment. Through the water tests, we found nitrate levels 600 to 700 times what they should be, equivalent to India and Chinese polluted rivers. We have found residue in dam soil samples on the farm, where they mix the chemicals, obviously high levels of chemical residue. Like I said, residue in oysters, residue in prawns, and some of the highest recordings detected in Australia. So I've spoken to Uncle Bud, and he tells me that the numbers of oysters are on decline in the Nambucca River, that we got pink spot on the fish. This is just indicating the water is not healthy. These are just some of the chemicals that were found during the water tests, and these are the levels that were found. So 9 pesticides were detected flowing into the marine park. Imidacloprid was detected, highest record in Australia. Then dimethyl and imidacloprid were detected every single test. And it was proved that downstream from farms, you would have 1,000% increase than upstream. So this is why we need development applications. People need to know what they can do on their farms, how much water they can use. Do they need buffer zones? Is there cultural sites? Is there a wildlife corridor? The community needs a voice to be able to say, I need a buffer zone. I don't want a dam to run off when it rains and it floods running across my property. So COFS has now acknowledged the need for development application. The netting structure, being separate to the horticulture, is considered a farm building. So when it's a farm structure, if it's 100 metres square or more, it has to be 50 metres from a neighbour's boundary, and you need 50 metres from a watercourse. So in COFS, we have netting on people's fence lines. We asked for buffers. Eventually, they gave them to us, but they put them inside the nets. Okay. So here's what COFS said. Recent interpretation of the planning framework indicates that the erection of netting structures associated with agriculture on such land does, in fact, require development consent. This is from the banana industry. This is 23 years ago when they started subdividing the banana properties. On the smaller blocks, they were requesting 40 metre vegetated buffers on all the surrounding houses to prevent overspray. So without vegetation, you would need a 300 metre buffer for spray drift. You'd need a 500 metre for intimate odour. So on. And now there's nothing. So, in order for humans and the environmental health of Nambucca Valley, Council should amend the LEP to make horticulture and intensive plant agricultural permissible with consent. Adopt the position that horticulture structures constitute farm buildings under the LEP and make sure the development standards apply. And if they do not exempt or comply, development under the codes of the SEPP then a DA is required. If you need information, if you want reports, we've got it all. Don't take a step backwards. You've got to protect your community and the environment. Okay?
Thank you. Ms. Firefly, councillors, are there any questions for Ms. Firefly? Councillor Jones.
If I could, are there any councils that are actually doing all this stuff at the moment? Yeah?
Yeah. Coffs Council's doing it. Yeah. And Grafton? Did they come over? Don't know. Yeah. Coffs Council, it took three goes to get them to go onto it.
Okay.
Yeah. But now, like, so when NRAR came, there was 88% non-compliance. Now they've come since DA's been in place, and a lot more people are complying. Yeah.
Are you finding those government statutory authorities, EPA, NRAR, these, are they becoming more aware of the issues? Are they getting up there more often?
Not really. It took us 6 years to get the EPA to test Herne's Lake after fish kills, and we found poisons in there that have been banned in Australia.
And you were doing it like citizen scientists?
No. The first study was done by Southern Cross Uni,
and
then they found the 600 times nitrate. They ran nitrate pit tests on one farm and that fixed the problem, but then they didn't implement it on any other farm. So, you know, even the DPI have really good guidelines for how to grow blueberries, which would combat a lot of the problems, but none of it's enforced. And unfortunately, you guys have a lot of the Oz Group growers around here, and they are the worst of who's around. And you know, I'm not
Wendy,
even talking
Wendy,
about slave
I think
labour.
You need to be. This meeting's being recorded.
Yeah.
I think you need to be a little cautious about.
Oh, I don't need to be cautious, mate. It's the truth.
It's the reminder is only for your benefit.
That's okay.
Because obviously there are defamation laws that.
Yeah. Even Gurmish, even. He even said the same thing, Anyway, yeah, any other questions?
Charming. Yeah, I do. Wendy, if I may ask, do you know whether any DAs have actually been lodged with Coffs Harbour Council and assessed and approved?
Yep, they have. Yeah.
Okay.
And the information we got about the post was all done legally by a town planner about the structure being a building structure. So that is law.
Well, it's my understanding, if I may, through the General Manager, ask Mr. Walsh, that Council's advice previously was contrary to that, but that is part of what we've sought legal advice on. Is that correct?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, the previous position of Coffs, Bellingen and Nambucca was that consent wasn't required. In 2021, I'm pretty sure it was, Coffs changed their position. And in response to that, we are now seeking legal advice to confirm that position.
Okay, thank you.
You've got to kind of ask yourself, what other business or industrial farm can get away with doing anything without a DA? We can't even put a shed on our land without a DA, and you're letting them come and clear whatever the hell they want and poison the water.
Well, again, obviously, once we get that result, that gives us an opportunity, based on that legal advice, to reconsider.
We can send you the report. We've got it all there.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from councillors? If not...
Just that we would accept those reports, if we could have those forwarded. I'd certainly like to see them as a councillor.
So. Yeah, sure. So just specifically around the structure and it being a farm building?
Just anything you like.
Anything you like, okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, whilst we're on the topic, could I just ask through the General Manager, the Manager of Development and Environment, just how we're going with those various reports and legal advices? And
Yes, certainly.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Jones, the latest advice I had was it would be the legal advice would be here before the end of this month, which is today. So I'll follow up again with the lawyer, but I'm still expecting it to come to a March meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So at this stage, we haven't received anything to be able to report. Okay. and it will be reported to council once it's received.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, councillors, page 20, item 9.1.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Angel.
His brother, yep.
Okay. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No late reports, so page 35, item 10.1. Moved Councillor Janvey.
Yes, thank you.
Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Oh, I'd like to discuss a few things.
Councillor Janvey.
Through you, Madam Mayor, to the General Manager, are we able to change things in the delivery program? Alterations?
Without putting it on public exhibition, no.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Jamie, for that question. No, not without, not mid-term, without putting it back on public exhibition. And given the timing of this year and we're midway through preparing our budget and delivery plan for next financial year, that is not something that I would recommend.
It's not. This is, you know, I've got questions about... you know, previously before, things like the Clean Energy Committee were mentioned under theme one, caring for our community. I've just got sustained on page 15, CC 10, Sustainable Energy Use Act, Council's REAP has been implemented. But, the you know, an item down, you mentioned quarterly meetings for the RSS. You mentioned a LEMC in CC 12. Committee is formed and operating. I'm just thinking about those people that turn up.
So you're not actually asking about changing the delivery plan. Your question is more about adhering to that delivery plan. Yes, you can question that. It's just the delivery plan is that statutory document. Once we adopt that, that has to go on public exhibition. It comes back with any comment. We can't just at a council meeting change the actual delivery plan, but you can certainly ask about or question the implementation of that delivery plan, because that's the purpose of it. It's supposed to guide delivering.
I know the Clean Energy Committee used to be mentioned in this document, and it does, there is a mention under...
If they're not mentioned in the actual document, in the actual delivery plan, you can't change that here and now. But again, given that...
Well, I'd like to know why other committees get a mention. Why doesn't...
Well, you should have raised that on the two or three occasions that the delivery plan came to a council meeting. But what I would suggest is, given the General Manager's response just now, that you ask that that be included in the delivery plan that we're about to start working on. We're going to be doing a new budget delivery plan, long-term... do we do the long-term?
Oh, I don't really understand why it was removed.
But it's a bit late in the year to be noticing that it was removed. That's why it comes to us, and and it would have come to council probably two or three times. Quite sure that no one's removed it in the interim.
Now, may I add to the answer through Director of Corporate Services?
Thank you, Councillor Jemby, for your question. The Community Strategic Plan Delivery Program is set before the start of each four-year elected cycle. So once it's been adopted, it's in place. You can't change any of it. What you can change is the what you have as a moving update is that status every 6 months. So if it's not been included in the status report, then yes, that's something that we can take on notice for future updates.
Does that need Madam Mayor, does that take on notice, need a resolution or an amendment?
No, if you're happy for the staff to take it on notice, then I'm sure they'll... Councillor Jen, before we go any further, could I ask a couple of staff members to go and clear the foyer, please? Because we've got people in the public gallery that I think are struggling to hear, because I know that I'm, even with the microphones, having a bit of a problem.
Thank you.
I could sort of see people...
I think they're shuffling out.
So just while that's happening, Madam Mayor, Councillor Jenby, can I just clarify, are you talking about in the area of sustainable energy use, so CC10?
Yes, yes I am.
Thank you.
But also something like CC20 under Clean Water Actions, I think the Estuaries and River Committee should get a mention in there.
Councillor Janby, can I suggest that, given that the staff are now aware of it, that you go through and list the items, seeing as it's going to be taken on notice, you don't need to deal with it because it's not a matter of a motion, that you go through and list the items that you want to raise and email the General Manager, and I'm sure he'll have the appropriate staff look at it.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the delivery program and operational plan? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 36, item 10.2.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. I'm going to... I have a few questions on this, but I'm going to ask the mover and seconder whether they'd be happy to add an additional point. Otherwise, I'll just move it as an amendment. And it'll be number 5 at the very bottom. And I've given the minute taker the wording. And as we actually have a motion on the floor, I can speak to this. So just by way of explanation, councillors, you've probably read, I think it was in, I don't know, local government news or something or other, there's currently an inquiry going on at state level. And if you've looked at it in detail, ICAC have actually made a submission to it. And their commentary or... presumably, I guess you can call them recommendations, is that things like buy local procurement policies are actually not a good thing to have. So, and I understand that the Office of Local Government are also currently reviewing the procurement guidelines or the tendering guidelines. I anticipate that what will happen is that the findings of this inquiry will inform the Office of Local Government's review. If that's the case, cause our, what's it called, this policy that we're currently adopting.
Procurement of goods.
Business ethics policy refers to a level playing field. But the policy I'm referring to there, the buy local procurement policy, as councillors will be aware, there is a weighting for local businesses. So rather than do anything with it now, what I'm proposing is that we wait to see the results of the state government's inquiry and how that influences or impacts on the procurement guidelines that the Office of Local Government bring out. Once we have that our staff then look at these policies again to make sure that we're actually complying with new guidelines. That's all it really is. So are the mover and seconder just happy to have that added? Thank you. Okay, well that now becomes the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? Because Again, I've got a couple of questions. Anyone else have anything? Okay. Do you think that one's been dealt with? In the terms of reference for the committee, it gives, I understand and completely support the need for independence of ARIC, the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee, but under the terms of reference, it allows the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee to engage legal advice and professional services. And I note that, and I believe the staff have added within the General Manager's delegations, what I wanted to know was, does that ensure that it's also within Council's budget, that it doesn't allow an independent committee to run up bills that the Council has to fund, but we don't have the funds set aside for?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for the question. I'll refer that to the Director of Corporate Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The General Manager delegations of authority under the Finance Expenditure Authorisation section state, as an example for the General Manager, to authorise all expenditure and or purchase orders within the adopted Council budget. Mm-hmm. And then also with the officers, it states to authorise all expenditure and or purchase orders within the adopted Council budget and within the officers' budget responsibility.
Okay, so that means that the way the terms of reference are worded, that the ARIC, because of the addition of, in accordance with the General Manager's delegations, can only incur expenditure that is within an existing adopted budget.
That's correct.
That's all I wanted to double check. Thank you. And I had a further question, and it's a probably a more general one about policies, but it certainly applies to investment and procurement and so forth. We have all of these policies that we adopt. What process is in place when procuring goods or investing money to ensure that we're actually abiding by this policy? When a staff member is purchasing, what's the process for just checking that the policy itself is not just something that we looks nice, we adopt, we put it on the shelf and then go and do whatever? What's the checking or checks and balances for ensuring policies are adhered to? Does that?
Yep, makes sense. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for the question. I think the Director of Corporate Services is the best place to answer that one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Typically, there's procedures which back up the policies, and any expenditure is required to be approved by a person senior to the person that's doing the procurement, and they should be checking that procurement back against the procedures and policy to make sure it's compliant.
Okay, so there's like a second person.
Correct.
Double-checking that whatever's proposed is in accordance with these policies.
Yes, and if there's a tender, then they've got their own set of requirements to be checked off as well.
Okay, thank you. I know it's an operational question, but I've often wondered, because it's all very well having a policy, but it's only as good as how well you comply with your policy. Okay, all right, that was my questions. If there's no other discussion, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Where do we go now? Page 39, item 10.3. Investment report. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Jenby. Any discussion? Councillor Jenby.
Just formulating my thoughts here, but through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, to Mr. Webb, our CFO, we're going to be trying for some long 2-year outlays for some term deposits and stuff to try and lock in good interest rates. And do you want to just tell us how that T Corp I mean, it's been down, it's now up, it's doing its normal thing, and some of that coming out of those FRNs and that sort of thing. Would you just a little discussion to some of those points?
I'll refer that question to the CFO.
Thank you.
Through the General Manager, thanks, Councillor Jemby. In regards to the investments and the term of the investments, we're looking at the rates are on the decline at the moment. So we're looking at trying to lock in some investments longer periods of time. So we did an investment today that was 2 years today. So we're just looking at that. Those. The other thing we're looking at is as investments come off, we're trying to lock them in for a longer term. So we suspect that whilst rates probably won't decline for another 6 months, potentially 6 months, the banks are starting to drop their interest rates as it is. With regards to T-Corp, it is a funny one. It goes up and down. It's volatile. We look at our FRNs on a regular basis and just decide whether we're going to trade them or whether we're not. We're going to have a discussion with our investment advisor next month in regards to our FRNs and to see where we're going to go with those moving forward. But we are trying to lock in as much as we can for a longer period of term. And we've got investments coming off at the moment which we're locking in as well.
Okay, thank you. Further to that, if I may, through the General Manager, I just wanted to ask where we were at with the investments with Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, that ICBC group that was raised previously by councillors.
Thank you for that question.
Thank you for your question, Madam Mayor. As much as I would love to answer that, I think the kudos goes to our Chief Financial Officer.
The General Manager, thanks for the question there. Just as of today, we've managed to, after some negotiations with ICBC, to send a letter to ICBC and terminate those 9 investments. So we've terminated the whole lot with them. And in the negotiation we've done, when we extrapolate what we'll get after we reinvest those investments up to the term of maturity on the old investments, the council will will increase our profitability by $270,000. So really pleasing. We've been working with ICBC for probably since I started, so 8 months ago, trying to get these term deposits off. Finally got that through today, and pleased to say that we will actually, our bottom line will be impacted by $270,000. So
apart from all of the other concerns that were raised, it's a sound financial result as well.
Absolutely. So it's a sound
good news all round.
Just on that, we've got 6 other term deposits that are yielding low rates, ranging from 1.17 to 1.9. Mm-hmm. They'll come off in the next 2 months, so we'll be able to lock those in for around about. We locked an investment in today for 2 years at 4.8%. When I've done the calculations on the $9.5 million from ICBC, I've estimated the rate of 4.7%, so conservative, just in case. So I've got to give them 31 days notice. Mm-hmm. It's just a legal requirement to break those term deposits. So I can't actually reinvest that money until I get the money back from ICBC. But yeah, we are looking at potentially by April this year, we'll have four term deposits left that are low yielding, and we're just 2 of those are with Treasury. From Northern Territory Treasury, which are FRNs, and we're just trying to negotiate with those to get those off at the moment. So there's been a lot of work done in the investment space.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 45, item 10.4.
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Jones.
Second.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion?
Could I ask through the General Manager, Acting Director of Engineering Services, with Alexander Parade, it's come up, it has been a very successful bit of engineering. I did note there were sort of like guardrails or almost like fencing over some of the culverts. Would you call them a culvert? Or is there a height standard that we have to put up? Is it, because it's obviously not a car barrier, it's more of a person. I just get you to fill us in on the details.
Through the General Manager. So on the eastern side of Alexander Drive, there'll be a shared path, cycleway. So that will be hard up against the edge of the road. So where we've got the pretty high culverts, so that's just to keep the pedestrians on the path and stop them from falling.
Is there a standard? I was just curious because when you drive around, these sort of drop-offs sort of happen everywhere. You know, people on bikes, and I just wondered if there was a standard or whether this was just a higher standard we've done because of that shared. I didn't know we were having a shared pathway.
Well, it depends on the severity of the fall and the type of fence you put in. Some fences you can have horizontal bars, which are easy to climb over. If you're going to land on a beach, that's fine. But if you're going to land on concrete, you need vertical slats to stop kids from climbing over them. So it's pretty standard to have a fence with that type of height and what you're going to fall into.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Angel.
Yeah, that's a favourable win as far as the impact on budget goes with the two of them. If you actually take out probably that Alexander Drive where it's been a favourable impact on the budget, there's probably 6 or 7 points that have been unfavourable. Does that get reviewed? I understand it's nearly a quarter of a mil there, which has been favourable to the council's bottom line, probably through the general manager to the acting director of engineering, potentially CFO. But, you know, we've got probably 7 points there of unfavourable impacts of the budget versus two favourable. And if you take out that massive chunk of a quarter of a million at the Alexander Drive, it's a bit of a concern, monetary-wise. But through the general manager, I'll let you divert this question. Does that get reviewed in some way?
Thank you, Councillor Angel, for the question. Yes, they do. What we're trying to do is, rather than deal with them at the end of the financial year, bring them to council now so it's open and transparent. I'm sure you can appreciate that it's nigh impossible to bring a project in on bang on budget, so they're generally slightly over or slightly under. But certainly that we'll be keeping a close eye on those overspends.
Probably more the number of projects having the unfavourable, taking the dollar value out of it, it's probably more the number of projects having the unfavourable exit rather than the favourable side. I get the dollar value, which is great.
Some of them are services that we provide, like the I think if you go down there, there's IT services and road safety officer expenditure, and that's a function that we share with Bellingen. So some of those are outside of our control. But rather than just let them flow through to the end of the year, we think it's much more positive that councillors can see what's going on in those areas.
It's a good repair.
Certainly, you're right. There are some that need to. We need to maintain our attention on them, but overall, if they're always coming in favourable to our budget overall, then that's a positive thing.
No, I agree with that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I did want to query, and I don't know whether my memory is just failing me. I do remember something about a tender for the unfavourable or the unbudgeted more than a quarter of $1 million for water infrastructure, Bellinger Street, the reservoir. And from the actual attachment, it looks like it was actually 270,000-odd. What happened there that we had such an unbudgeted expense? If I may ask whoever's...
Yes, I'll take that question, Madam Mayor. It's not unbudgeted, but we did miss it when we were preparing last year's budget. So the slight difference is there was a budget allowance to design the work, and this is new hand railing and some roof structure alterations on the Bellinger Street reservoir. So it is quite intricate work that required design. Whilst that design was happening, the manager of water and sewage neglected to put a budget in place for this financial year, the actual construction work that needed to happen. So in that tender, when the design was finished, we went to tender. Yes, the tender was awarded.
So it wasn't budgeted in this current finance. I'm just trying to work out if it was budgeted, why is it an listed here as an unfavourable result?
No, it wasn't budgeted. When I say budgeted for, it's in the strategy for water and sewage, yep. But wasn't budgeted for in our delivery plan. But because the money comes from the restricted asset water reserve, there's no change to the budget itself. So wasn't budgeted for in the budget.
But the unbudgeted funds is being covered by a transfer from our water reserve.
Correct.
Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. So what were the other works other than the railing? What was the $250,000?
Changes to the roof structure, if the Acting Director of Engineering can confirm that or not.
Let's take that on notice.
Oh, sorry, yeah. It's just, I sort of thought $250,000 for some fancy hand railing sounds a little, oh, yeah, if perhaps an email to councillors at a later date would suffice there. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Either discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Where are we next? Page 50, item 10.5.
Remove that, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 51, item 11.1.
With this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 54, item 12.1.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. And there are no late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting, please? Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors will now resume in open meeting, and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll start with item 13.1, the tender for the installation of two sewage overflow storage tanks at Maxville. Council resolved, moved Jones, seconded Councillor Jemby, that Council 1 accept the tender submitted by AJ Civil Projects for the amount of $456,738.70, inclusive of GST, to install sewage overflow tanks at two pump station sites in Maxville. Number 2, that Council update the contract register. Number 3, that Council authorise the General Manager to negotiate and approve any contract variation regarding the relocation of the electricity supply. And that was carried unanimously. Item 13.2, the panel contract for the supply of pressure sewage pump stations and associated equipment. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Wilson, that Council 1 endorsed the use of the panel contract for the supply of pressure sewage systems and associated equipment as arranged by Clarence Valley Council with Nambucca Valley Council as a nominated party. 2, note that the panel of suppliers shall comprise of Enviro One Services and Installations Pty Ltd and Aquatech Fluid Systems Pty Ltd. 3, authorise the General Manager to add Beckwater Pty Ltd to the panel of suppliers if further operational experience with the offered unit indicates it is advantageous to Council. That motion was carried unanimously. Item 13.3, T7-2023, the tender for the provision of security services. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Wilson. That Council 1, accept the tender submitted by MME Security for tender T7-2023 for the amount of $306,379.26. inclusive of GST for the provision of security services for 3 years, and 2, update the contract register. That motion being put was carried unanimously. Item 13.4, matters regarding realised or potential losses. Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Angel. Council note the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. And that motion was carried unanimously. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their attendance and for their courtesy and close the meeting. Thank you.